So what was your next development then after Springglade?
Well, between Viewpoint mm-hmm. and Springglade, we were also over here in Fairhill
okay.
doing this one. And
how many acres is this one then, Marjorie? It looks big.
It was
big.
160.
160.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minus the Steese Highway.
Right.
Yeah. Which was only a two-lane road at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have, it included all the way over to Crowell, which is the cold weather
oh, did it?
Testing area yeah. there, yeah. behind the dumpster.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the property line was what would be along the side of the fence at the dumpsters.
Okay.
And then the thing in front of it was something that the borough had gotten on municipal land entitlement.
Okay.
And at one time we had a lease on that from the borough.
Mm.
But after Duke's death, I didn't really want to do anything down there. The reason we got the lease from the state, and the state gave it to the borough, was somebody was suggesting that they wanted to put in a trailer park down
oh.
there. And we thought it was worth our money to lease it to keep that away.
Right.
And now it wouldn't be acceptable.
No.
So somewhere, oh, maybe 10, 12 years ago, the borough was hunting for a dumpster site. And
perfect.
And this was theirs on a lease. We had a lease on it.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll sell you your lease back.
Right.
And we had done some improvement, but not much to it.
Right.
And they said, we don't want the 40 acres. And we said, I said, well, I don't want it either. You either buy it from
yeah.
me and get the 40 acres and get me out of this lease. It
right.
wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't need it.
Right.
So they did. And the property where the farmer's market is and where the coffee place is,
mm-hmm.
Those were part of that original
oh, were
160.
They? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mocha Dan was located at that time, before he came out here, he was located in old Fred Meyer. Remember they?
No, I
no,
know.
You weren't
I wasn't here.
Here.
Where's the old Fred Meyer?
The old Fred Meyer is now where REI has just located in one end of that building.
Okay.
And the other end is the hospital's outpatient
oh.
Therapy, physical therapy area.
Okay. Huh.
So it's on the corner of the old Steeson College.
Right.
Yeah. Across from Sam's Club.
Right. So let's look at, so we're here on Fairhill. So
yeah.
you named all of these streets
oh, yeah.
in here too. So we have Niffin Road.
Yeah.
Well, we know where that comes from.
Well, that came significantly later, actually. Came because there was a duplication. And
oh.
when I was first on the platting board, they decided we're going to have no duplication of names, which meant we were going to rename lots of streets.
And this was about the 1980s, was it?
This was 86,
okay.
87, something like that. Yeah. And so the one that was the most difficult was Pioneer Way. There was a Pioneer Way off of College Road, and then there was Pioneer Way where the borough is located. So you now know that the borough's on Old Pioneer Way.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. That's how they got around that one.
That's how they got around. Well, it's
yeah.
quite common, it turns out, not only in Alaska, but I was driving around down in the Dakotas and Nebraska and Oklahoma, and there were a number of old this's and that's there also. The other thing that is funny about those roads out there, though, you'll be out in the middle of nowhere and you'll find 250th Street. Huh? From where? We don't do that here.
Right.
And I'm glad we don't.
So was Niffin Road called something else then before?
Yeah, well, it was Peters Road.
Oh, it was Peters
that.
Road.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, but we had to do a change, and so since he had recently died,
mm-hmm.
I said, well, I'd like to use that and then we'll put Peters Road somewhere else.
Right.
And so that's how.
That's how.
Greening got its name simply because Senator Greening was a friend of my husband's.
Oh.
And he chose that way to honor his mm-hmm. friendship.
Right.
And he was a devotee mm-hmm. of Governor and Senator Greening.
Huh. And was City Lights Boulevard that named by you
Boulevard,
guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
You can sit on the road and look
at the city lights. Right.
Although I can see more city lights from up here if I cut some of my trees. But I'm not going to cut my trees.
And Fair Hill, of course, because it's a fair hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell me about your son, Peter. You said he was the youngest.
No, Duke is the youngest.
Duke is... You said Peter
was another adopted son. And uh-huh. unfortunately, when he was 16, he... got in a little bit of very minor trouble at school, and he decided that was too embarrassing, and he left us.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear
that. Yeah,
that's very sad.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. But
it was an interesting thing because I went down and talked. He was downstairs. I went downstairs and talked to him after he'd gotten suspended. He said, well, you know, we suspend people all the time. I was on the school board at mm-hmm. that time. Well, that may have exacerbated the situation.
Mm.
And told him, you know, it's not the end of the world. Well,
oh, dear.
I guess I was talking past him.
Yeah.
He had one thing on his mind, and I had a different thing.
Yeah.
And that was that.
Dear, oh, dear.
So, anyway, we still gave him a road.
Right. Well, that's...
yeah.
Yes.
And... Actually, he had the road before he died, so he knew he had one.
Yes. And was Lizelle part of this?
No.
Too? No, that's...
Lizelle is an old, old name,
uh-huh.
and I don't know what it is, I think it probably was the name of some person over here.
Ah, okay.
Excuse me.
No problem. I can talk.
Well, I can talk to her later.
Okay. So that's this area here, then, where we are right now. Yeah.
Right to this line. That's the Fairbanks baseline. And the initial point, if they were going to have a 250th Street,
yes,
it would start from here. the initial point on the Fairbanks quadrangle is mm-hmm. up here at the top of the hill where you see all those dishes.
Uh-huh.
It's common to Fort Wainwright, mm-hmm. common to our corner. No, it's not common to our corner. It's 2,600 feet beyond it.
Hmm.
And then the Fairbanks Meridian mm-hmm. goes the other way.
Oh.
On Fort Wainwright, you'll notice there's a Meridian Avenue.
Yeah.
Well, that's because it's on the Fairbanks Meridian. And down in Palmer,
mm-hmm.
there's a Meridian Avenue because that's on the Seward Meridian.
Oh, okay.
And the meridians and the baselines are the starting point for... designating sections.
So that's your surveying post.
Yeah,
that's
your
all
initial
comes
point.
From.
And
right.
Everything ties back to that. So when you have a township and range
mm-hmm.
contains 36 sections, and then they keep throwing whatever surveying error they have to the northwest corner.
Okay.
So where one's at the initial point will contain 640 acres. By the time you get out, a fair amount, because of convergence,
right?
They may not contain their whole
640. Yeah. So
640 is a mile on each side.
It's a mile on each side, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So.
And so that's the meridian for here, and where's the next one then? Or are they really far apart?
They are very far apart.
Right.
I am not sure.
Okay.
It's there's one out somewhere close to Kotzebue.
Wow.
but and, then one and there's an Umiat meridian.
Okay.
Way north. I can't tell you.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So then you did all of those and you're doing Fairhill and what next?
Oh, what next? They're out of chronology.
Oh, are they? When did you do?
We did Fairhill in 69.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it was an early one,
too. We were
too.
Doing it along with Sunrise. And
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So then those two together,
and,
then Viewpoint.
Yeah, and then we moved into the 70s doing Upper Farmers Loop.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some property on the other side of the hill here.
Uh-huh.
And we had... Well, I just plain sold that, and somebody else did the subdivision. I was actually over there the other day, and I had never been to some of that property.
Oh,
because,
really?
Well, it was a mile long and a quarter mile wide, and I was not able to navigate a lot of it. When we bought it, Duke the Elder walked around the whole thing, and that was about it.
Huh.
But it was, at that time, relatively inaccessible, and so I was fortunate enough to be able to sell it without having to do anything to it virtually.
So when you were looking for property to buy to subdivide, what were some of the key important things? Like you were saying about need a decent road in and out that's not straight up and down.
Well,
something.
Yeah. This one was fairly straight up and down, and I frequently hear it maligned.
Oh.
Well, now there's Fairhill Road, and it's 17%.
Right.
Well, people seem to get up and down it.
Yeah.
And they got up and down it before it was paved.
Right.
you know, it doesn't seem to present problems to them. Mm. And I was down in Mat-Su a couple of weeks ago. Their roads go up and down hills, and they don't seem to think that they have to do switchbacks all the time to make this magical 10% grade.
That's the requirement today, is it?
Anything beyond that, you have to get a variance.
Oh, really?
And they're not always granted.
Mm.
We did an addition to Gold... Gold Something Estates was out here at the intersection of Blaine and Gold Stream. Well, we had 100 and some odd acres that we bought there, and we added to those roads. It's off of Gold Stream.
So there's Gold Stream there. Yeah. Is it these ones, like
right
Solstice and Sunshine?
No, up above.
Up above,
yeah.
Okay. So
so it was Gold Point and...
Yep, there's Gold Point, Cords.
Cordis was already in.
Okay. There's Golden View.
We put
View.
Gold Point in. We extended Golden View.
Uh-huh.
And we extended Skyflight.
Right.
Yeah.
So they were semi there and you just
kept
them.
Yeah. Gold Point was not. That was a whole new road that we put in.
And then just behind, down by Debbie's Way, Stevens, okay, Franklin, that's obviously somebody else's name.
I don't know anything about those roads.
Sergeant Collins, not
I know
that.
How Prop Wash got its name because I knew the person that lived on the end of it.
Oh, how did it get its name? Prop Wash.
Well, it had a little airport on it. Yeah. And Puppet, you could be quiet.
So what years did you do the ones up in Gold Stream there? Do you remember?
About 10 years ago.
Okay.
That is, there was already a start there. It's the newer sections that we did.
Right.
And we were doing an addition to Ridge Point at the same time.
Right,
and so,
which is down here on Chena Ridge.
Yeah, which is on Chena Ridge.
Not sure if that's on this map here or not.
It should be.
There it is, Ridge Point. So did you do like Ellesmere and Forest?
No, Ellesmere was the university.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and we have always felt a bit put out that the university using state money can build subdivisions.
Why did the university build?
The land because as a land grant college, they were granted a certain amount of land exclusive of the municipal entitlement lands, which went to the borough,
okay,
to fund their programs, or, mm-hmm, well, to fund their construction.
Mm-hmm.
And now I hear that the they're $50 million short on the engineering building or something. They got $5 million this year, but they want 50 more, mm-hmm, apparently.
Yeah.
So anyway, they had these lands, and they've been selling land periodically.
And fun stuff.
The three major sources of land, well, maybe there are four, are the state,
mm-hmm,
which gave land to mental health, to the university, and to the boroughs.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave it to them, requiring that it be surveyed before they could get full title. So since the borough, for example, hasn't surveyed all of it, didn't have the funds really to survey all of it, they haven't gotten full title to all of their lands, but they have some that are tentatively approved. They're called TA lands.
Okay.
Then mental health has been sort of a thorn in the side because they don't want to let go of any of theirs, and they haven't surveyed some of theirs, but it's designated that, mm-hmm, these are mental health lands. And then the university had lands,
mm-hmm,
and they were supposedly sources of income for these three entities. And the next layer up, of course, was the state, which got a portion at statehood,
mm,
from the feds.
Yeah, yeah.
So things that aren't federal are either state or subsequently some of these other entities.
Right. Huh.
Yeah.
So you did. So Ellesmere was part of the university then. I did not know that.
Yes, they had Section 16 and 36,
huh,
were school sections, were set aside, I think, in the original Homestead Act,
hmm,
which dates back to 1860s.
Mm-hmm.
They were set aside as school sections. So wherever you had sections laid out, these sections were supposedly either for school sites,
mm-hmm,
or they could be sold with the funds being used
for
education purposes.
Right.
And then, of course, the university got other lands. I understand one of the stories that I did listen to that was repeated often, but Dr. Bunnell,
mm-hmm,
had a number of students whom he supported at the university in the 30s and,
mm-hmm,
maybe into the 40s, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they would all go homestead, and when they left,
right,
they would deed the property back to...
Oh.
I don't know whether it went directly to the university or whether it went to Dr. Bunnell, who then moved it on.
Huh.
I don't know that.
Oh, that's interesting.
But that was one of the ways that the university got more land,
right,
that it could add to its... Usually they were in the area, though, to the top of Blaine Hill,
mm-hmm,
I understand, or out in what is now to the west there of... Lawler Road,
oh, okay,
and Sheep Creek,
yep,
that area.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So you just did Ridge Point itself then, none of the other,
yes,
streets down from...
We did Ridge Point, and then Forest Drive goes off of Ridge Point,
yep,
and we had another 40 acres right there.
Oh.
So we did that part.
Right.
And
so was it...
My son has a couple lots over, mm-hmm, there. I don't have any anymore. I've sold all mine.
So did that include Langford Street and Moomin Valley?
A very little bit. Moomin Valley. That,
yeah,
was one that I managed to get by people.
Okay. what's that come from?
Well, you're probably too young to have remembered about Kilroy.
No.
During World War II,
uh-huh,
I guess, I didn't... pay attention to it because I was less than 10.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, I was 10, when 11 when it ended. But the GIs would go around marking up things saying Kilroy was here and draw a little face,
oh,
on it, much like a happy face, but Kilroy was different. And it would say, Kilroy's here. Well, Moomin Valley, there were these little Moomins there. I never learned her name, but there was a Finnish author that wrote children's books.
Mm-hmm.
And she had these little characters, Moomins.
Okay.
They sort of looked like schmooze, but not exactly. And I was in Denmark when my daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren were there. They were both teaching at the University of Aarhus. And I was exposed to these books, and I came back. And just after that, I needed a road name. And here went down into this little sort of dark gully
area. Yeah, yeah.
It's a nice place, but it was sort of, it looked like a place where Moomins should be.
Okay.
So that's how Moomin Valley got its name.
That's interesting. Very interesting.
And actually, people live on Moomin Valley. They have that as an address.
Wow. So Hillary would have been off your...
Hillary
off,
was not
part of it.
That was Mike Kraft's little...
And the Red Ridge Road, that wouldn't have
Red
been...
Red Ridge, I think, is Ted Kegler's road. And Ted Kegler was married to Mary Ann, who was the friend I came to visit...
Really?
Back in 1959, and stayed in their driveway for a couple weeks, living in the VW bus, while I was getting situated with other things.
Right. Huh. So what other places?
I first thought I was going to homestead at about 18 or 19 mile on Chena Hot Springs Road. And Chena Hot Springs Road was a two-lane track of mud that... if you needed something to pull you through or didn't have four-wheel drive, put on your chains or whatever.
Yeah.
And after I thought about it, it didn't make sense to try to drive to a teaching position in Fairbanks from there every day.
Yeah.
So that's when I bought the property on Greenock Road.
Right, So what other areas in Marjorie have you guys been involved with?
Well, we've been to Goldstream.
Yep.
We've been up the old Nenana Highway, and now I'm working on, I bought some land out on the river that didn't have any access.
Oh.
Except river access, which is an acceptable form of access.
Yep.
So we had a subdivision out there, which is River Point.
And where is that? Whereabouts?
River Point is off your map.
Is it off the map to the east then?
Yeah,
is it?
To
okay.
The east.
Yep.
It's about three river miles from the Nordale boat landing.
Okay.
It's actually very close.
Yeah.
But if you have to go on the river,
it's far.
You're serpentining your way around. And it was a funny looking little piece that stuck out in the middle of the river.
Huh.
So River Point was appropriate. We had Gold Point and Viewpoint.
Yeah.
And
right.
The ones that end in E frequently, with the exception of West Point, which is down off of Chena Point, which is mainly condominiums.
Where is that? Oh, down the... I know
down
the ones.
Down by Chena Small Tracts.
Yes, by Chena Small Tracts, yeah.
Small Tracts. It ends in a T.
Oh, okay.
And you see it frequently in the ads... for garage sales as tracks. You know, you wonder, Chena couldn't make tracks. It wasn't an old slough bed.
Right.
But it was one of those government operations where they made a bunch of small tracks down there.
Oh, okay. Huh.
It's across the river from the Princess Hotel.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But, so we did River Point out... you can actually look at it if you go up Blue Spruce Road, which is off of it's off of Freeman, which is off of Nordale.
Okay.
Right, just after you cross the river on Nordale Road, about a mile down is Freeman Road. And Freeman actually runs up to the river at about 3 miles out on it. Well, Blue Spruce is about halfway, and you can look across the river, and there's River Point, but you can't get there by road.
So how did so quite a few people bought those lots then?
We've sold the lots. I have two that we're not selling, and mm-hmm. We've had offers on them, but I'm not interested in selling them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have something on the river for myself.
Right, yeah.
Well, then just a couple of years ago, we bought another piece right across from the boat landing on the river and part down into the woods. And we spent last summer building a road there, and we'll have some more river frontage lots that you can drive to.
No.
Yeah. And then the last one that we've been working on is Fox Bluffs.
Oh, where's that?
It's up off the Steese Highway,
mm-hmm.
right off of Bullion.
Oh, yes. I know the area.
And you go up Bullion to about here, mm-hmm. and then there's Fox Bluffs Drive, mm-hmm. goes down the section line, and off of Fox Bluffs Drive is Polka Dots.
Oh.
Well, I couldn't sell anyone on Epilobium angustifolium. Try it again. And since my son was a half partner in this property, he got to name that one.
So he
named it. He said, "I'm going to call it Polka Dot."
Very
that's
funny.
What it is. And then last summer we built another smaller section off of it that is Engineer Creek.
Oh.
And it's above Engineer Creek.
Right. So that's
Engineer
why.
Creek is where the pipeline crosses.
I think we went and looked for property up there actually mm-hmm. at one time, so I know the
yeah.
area.
Yeah.
So your son kind of has taken over from your husband as a business partner then? And which son is
on
this?
On some of these. This is Duke.
Uh-huh.
Duke the Younger.
Duke the Younger.
Yes. Well, it used to make a difference. It doesn't now.
Right.
Most people know if I'm talking about Duke in the present tense,
yes.
I'm talking about my son.
Yeah.
If I'm talking about something that happened pre-1964, it's his father.
Right.
But, yeah. There was a long time back after I'd done part of Ridge Point,
mm-hmm.
that he didn't seem overly interested in what I was doing, and I thought I was going to... I still had the property that was in Gold Point,
mm-hmm.
but I thought I was going to retire. Well, when we started on Gold Point, suddenly he started showing up at noon to see what we were doing each day, and he became more interested in what I was doing, and he will be the one that will be left as the executor of whatever properties are left. And actually on Fox Bluffs, he's half owner on that. Mm. And
are you still buying property then, Marjorie, or are you just you trying to...
Well, the phone call that I shut off
uh-huh.
was about a property purchase. So
yes.
So the answer is yes.
Yeah.
You know, it goes in cycles, both your development and your so-called peddling of the property.
Mm-hmm.
For many years, Robert Fox
mm-hmm.
represented our properties, as well as I took a lot of individual sales. My agreements have never been exclusive agreements with any realtor.
Mm-hmm.
So that always leaves me the right to sell.
Right.
And Robert did a very good job for me. Robert decided to retire, though. And he had his business. He sold his business to his niece. And she was here for 2 or 3 years. And she's gone back to Anchorage. Oh. And Robert is now working for Kirk Maynard. Because when you let your license lapse, and I couldn't have thought this to be true, but when you let it lapse, you have to start out as 2 years as a salesman when you'd been a broker for 30 years.
Oh, my heavens.
Yeah.
And yet I still see Robert Fox
yeah.
signs up.
Yeah,
so
those
there's
are
still...
his signs. And he's an agent for Kirk. And
okay.
Kirk is... Century 21, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, but I think he's put in his 2 years, so now he'll be able to reopen his office as the broker.
Good heavens.
So, well, he had a pile of signs, I'm sure, when he decided to retire. And
right.
And then there's also this thing that a lot of signs never come down for a long time, and the property may not still be for sale.
That's true.
Or
Yeah.
Or it may not be listed with that agent anymore.
Right, yeah.
If the next agent was not diligent to come and remove the sign,
yeah,
it may still be there.
Yeah. So has it cycled here in Fairbanks where you've had, you know, years where you can get rid of your lots very quickly and then other times where they sit for quite a while?
Yes, it has been that way.
Uh-huh.
Back in the early 80s, we had some times that didn't go so well. Then things picked up in the 90s. Right. Then we had another cycle when they weren't going too well.
Yeah.
And you just live with the cycles.
Right.
And it evens out. And, of course, in land development, I don't suppose you tell the person who bought the lot in viewpoint that's in the gully, you don't tell him, you know, that wasn't our favorite lot, and it wasn't anybody else's favorite lot until it was the last lot, and you wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
The times, people are not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
They can find your best lot.
Mm-hmm.
And after your subdivision has become a desirable place or undesirable, there are lots of lots in Fairbanks
mm-hmm.
that are platted, but they're platted on poor ground or inaccessible or not as accessible as people would want. And unfortunately, they languish.
Mm-hmm.
And you also find when you buy 160 acres, it's not all going to be prime land.
No.
You're going to get some that is less desirable, and you may even get some cabin sites out mm-hmm. of it. And I tell people up front that, look, the best thing to do on that particular piece, if you like all those small trees,
mm-hmm.
That's fine, but build above ground.
Mm-hmm.
Don't play in the permafrost.
Right.
And then some will and some won't. And then they ask you, they say, well, I'm having some settling here. And you say, yeah, your permafrost is melting.
Yeah.
And with this last subdivision, Fox Bluffs over here off the Steis, just below Fox, that was the first time we'd ever run into the Corps of Engineer Corps.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah.
Oh. Huh.
And they're just a whole nother thing to deal with.
Are they?
Yeah.
Huh.
There are. Well, it's another layer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now there is mitigation required. You build in wetlands, you have to either pay a large fee, and I'm not sure of this number, but I've heard it's $15,000 an acre. Well, you can't build too many roads if you're putting out $15,000 before you put any gravel on the road.
Right. Wow.
But you can mitigate with other land
mm-hmm.
that is not going to be touched or something.
Mm.
And I just sold a piece last month that was down on the river, and it's for somebody else to use for mitigation.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, we aren't going to do anything to this. We'll keep it in its pristine condition, which it was so pristine that when I took my son down to look at it, he said, you better put that right back on the market.
Really?
And that was 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 8 years ago.
Huh.
Yeah, he wasn't at all impressed with it.
Okay.
He said, it'll flood.
Yeah, yeah.
It hasn't since they did the Moose Creek Dam.
Okay.
But it certainly has low portions. They're
right.
as low as some of that stuff over on Perkins and mm-hmm. off of Rosie Creek.
Oh, really?
Down toward the river.
Yeah.
The Tanana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
And there's some places out on Pile Driver Slough, which is in Salcha.
Mm-hmm.
There are places there that have flooded every year for...
Right. Yeah.
They should call their subdivision flooded.
Well, I'm surprised they let anybody build on them to begin with.
Wait a minute.
You know, floodplains.
They didn't have any any right to tell you you couldn't build on. Mm. Now, the person who controls that is the banker.
Okay.
Now, the banker may look at it and say, no, we aren't going to give you a loan. Well, then you run around to Farmers Home Administration, and they're a little more lenient.
And you get the
money.
You get
something, and you build in the flood zone. There's a new set of flood maps out, which I have not seen yet, but they were became effective, I think it was April 1st of this year. And they have changed what areas are now considered
flood zones.
Because after the 67 flood, they had a lot more considered flood zone than now that they have the dam up there.
Yeah. So you don't have, like where I'm from, they have conservation boards. And the conservation boards will say no building is allowed in this area because it is a flood zone. But that's maybe more urban.
Don't have exactly that, but actually the group that bought that property that I mentioned was the Delta Conservation.
Oh, really?
Delta Salture Conservation. And they were going to use it for mitigation for something. I don't know where they were going to go. And they have theoretically promised that they won't do anything there.
Okay.
But all it is a... And it wasn't even wetlands.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. But it's something... Well, it's under another problem. It's over here.
Mm-hmm.
And there are the runways.
Right.
Off of... Fort Wainwright.
Yeah.
It was right under the runway. And
okay. Here somewhere.
It was right
there.
In that green spot there, but it was not flood.
Right.
Yeah, no, it was probably flood in 67.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was.
Huh.
But Steel Creek comes down over in here somewhere.
Okay.
Down into, it comes way from up the top of the hill, down into the river there.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So what's, I imagine it's, you said you were on the planning board at one time?
No, was on the platting board.
Platting board. Oh.
And I still am.
Are you?
haven't managed to get off yet. And they're 3-year terms.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I've been there since 87, I think. I really ought to look that up.
And what's the responsibilities then? You guys are the ones who officially give the new plats?
The platting board is the one that you get your preliminary approval from.
Okay.
And they're the one that goes over the plat. Not the platting board, but the platting staff goes over the plat before they record it to make sure that everything is supposedly correct.
Right.
And I have one plat that one side of a property line, for example, is 390 feet, and the other side is 360 feet. Well, they didn't catch that.
Okay.
And I only noticed it well after the thing was platted.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know which it is.
Yeah.
However, I have a pretty good idea because I know what the adjacent lots were.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be 390.
When
they're all in the 350 to 370 range.
Right, right.
And it's not that much different.
Huh. Yeah. So does this get registered on a title somewhere? The plots? Like how did that error get fixed? Because I used to work in like the land registry office, and that would have just been, you would have had to have resurveyed and our plans drawn up, everything to fix that.
Where were you?
I was in Ontario.
Ontario.
Yeah, Ontario,
Canada.
Oh, well,
the Canadians are a lot more fussy, aren't they?
Yes, they're very particular, especially with the land titles.
They're fussy except when you're driving down the Alaska Highway and you have three cats in your car. And you hand them all your vet certificates.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we don't want those.
That's funny.
You took your cats to the vet. You paid money. You got these certificates. We don't want them.
I don't want them, no. But when I used to work in real estate law, you know, if something like that had happened, that would have...
You do a resurvey.
You'd have to definitely do a resurvey, register an R plan, have it all redone. There's no way that would be allowed to go through. Well, in fact, you wouldn't be able to sell your property again.
They didn't catch it. That was the whole thing.
Yeah. Huh.
We have a chorus.
We do. Roger, he's pretty quiet when nobody's around.
You'd think he'd get hoarse
yeah,
and tired.
Yeah, he really would. Yeah.
He's a nice little dog.
Yeah.
I got him, and then I went very shortly thereafter and had a hip replaced.
Oh.
And so he did not get the upbringing and training that he should have gotten.
Right, yeah.
Consequently, he thinks that anytime anybody comes to the house, he can decide whether he's going to bark or whether he's going to make up to them.
Okay.
And we were afraid that he might not be amenable to this. So,
okay.
Consequently. I mentioned that my husband had served his time here at Fort Wainwright when it was Ladd Field. He was in the Air Corps before the Air Force existed.
Yeah.
Our property line, which is 200 feet below the house here, is the Fort Wainwright boundary.
I saw the fence coming up.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's also the city boundary.
Is it?
Because Fort Wainwright was annexed into the city. They did not object, I guess. That's probably more the way to put it.
Right.
And then... at our back ditch here, which is just behind the barn, and the garage is maybe 15 feet from the back property line, that's Birchill Park. Uh-huh. And that's city... Well, it was city property, but it's now borough property.
Okay.
So this is the last of the private lands that were not in the city, but were close to
right.
the city.
Yeah.
And I... will fight annexation to my dying death. And, I don't want to be in the city. I have no interest.
You want to be in the borough.
I didn't want to be in the borough either, but that's all right.
Yeah.
We've been here 15 years.
Are they trying to annex you then into the, hello.
Otis. Did Duke come home?
Must be. Are they trying to annex you? Hello.
Are there dog allergies?
No, but I'm fine with him.
This is
he's
my
okay.
son, Daryl Niffin. Leslie.
Hi, I'm Leslie.
I forgot
McCartney.
Your last name.
McCartney, like Paul.
Oh.
Okay. It's pretty easy to remember.
Okay. Well, you didn't say that when you introduced yourself the first time.
Didn't I? Oh, okay.
You didn't say like Paul.
Oh, no.
Then I might have remembered.
Okay.
I have very poor short-term memory anymore.
I'm fine, thank you very much.
So, I offered her drinks to start, Duke.
Just fine, yeah.
But
so they want to annex. Are you saying that they want to annex this into the city now, or
they haven't made any moves lately?
Okay,
they did an annexation 8 or 10 years ago. However,
yeah,
when they readjusted the election district boundaries. They took this one stretch just partway up the road and put it in the city.
Oh.
And they wanted me to go down and vote at Tananaw Junior High or Tananaw Middle School. And considering there was a polling place at Fairhill Church here, I absolutely refused. I went once, but I didn't go the other times. I voted an absentee ballot.
Huh.
Well, I told them. I said... I get down there, I'd get a city ballot, and I'm not entitled to vote for city people.
Right.
And furthermore, I don't want to be in the city.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Duke, you can stay.
Yes.
I'll do something with Puppet.
Oh, well, Puppet is quiet for a moment. See, now that you're home.
I might get you off topic. I wanted you to remember Miller Road or the Miller Steakhouse on...
No, Fowler.
Fowler.
Yes, I did.
We talked
already
about that.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
And Delphinium and Ariel.
Oh, no, we haven't talked about Delphinium.
Delphinium was not one of mine, but it's a road over here.
It is.
That is, it was the driveway for friends of ours, the Tordoffs.
I know
and
Dirk.
You know Dirk.
Yeah.
Well, Dirk was just a little redheaded kid when I arrived. And his mother used to tie him and his brother to the birch trees out front so that they could play out in the yard, but wouldn't wander out to Farmer's Loop. Farmer's Loop has been redone 3 or 4 different times. Mm-hmm. And the area, you're probably familiar with the area down by the university parking lots.
Mm-hmm.
How many times has that been surveyed, Duke?
How many times have the parking lots changed and the entrances and exits of
How many times had Bill Mendenhall's classes gone out and resurveyed Farmer's Loop?
That's true.
Bill Mendenhall is also on the platting board. He and I are the two oldest members. But it was a good thing for the students to be able to go out and survey. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if they got differing values each time. So you're Canadian.
I'm Canadian.
That's great.
Yeah. But so going back to Delphinium Lane.
Delphinium was the driveway for Tordoffs.
Okay.
And they lived in a house that was built out of railroad ties.
Hmm.
It's still there.
Okay.
But it's now owned by Jean Crank, who sells flowers.
Yes, I've been in there.
Okay, you know Jean.
Yeah.
Jean was one of my students many, many years ago. She's now retired.
Mm-hmm.
And Oz Tordoff used to have a fountain in his yard with a narwhal in it, paper mache or something. Well, it couldn't have been paper mache because it spouted water.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he had that in his yard for many years. So it was something that people looked at.
Mm-hmm.
But the base of it, I understand, came out of a boys' or men's lavatory.
Oh.
Was it actually, Duke, a urinal, or was it a hand washing?
I really don't know.
You choose not to know. But it came from one of the lavatories when somebody was renovating something. And it was a large circular thing with a stand. So, and he put this
recreation. The narwhal was probably this big, and the tusk on it was,
a long tusk.
Yeah.
And it spewed water. And it was really quite the thing.
Yeah, it was quite neat. The tour buses would look at it. And they had delphiniums in that bed on the side, which Jean told me just earlier this year, you know, I've got to get out there and weed that bed again. Well, our delphiniums here are offspring of those.
Right.
And, you know, it's so nice to have that memory of those two people. They had been here before statehood.
Yes.
And because of her asthma and COPD, they had to move out of state. They couldn't take the winters.
Right.
So they went to Nevada and lived at 8,000 feet down there just outside of Reno.
Mm. So that's how Delphinium Lane got its name.
Yeah, so Delphinium was named because it went by their Delphinium bed, which was, they kept it very neatly weeded.
Yes.
Huh. Ullerhaven, Skibbut Hill.
Okay.
Yeah, they were named.
Gender Mountain.
Frequently named, things were named for whatever was near them.
Uh-huh.
Or wherever they ended up.
Right. Gerald Lazotte.
Oh.
Jerry Lazotte has been here since before. Well, he came up in World War II.
Okay.
I've worked with him, and I worked with him out at Carpenter's Hall in the 80s and 90s. He now drives school buses. And he and his wife remember these little roadhouses. They're the place like
so that Fowler's.
Right.
Fowler's. But they, you know, if you ever... When I have a question about where something was, he can tell me, there was an old place called the Cabaret over here. There was an old place called, you know, and there used to be an old racetrack right down, right down about where Home Depot is with tarmac and a set of bleachers. And he can tell me, oh, yes, and there was a little a little restaurant out there too. But this was now, you know, and we used to come up the what's the old Steeves now, mm-hmm. and go by right where the Mormon church is. Mm-hmm. It was country-like, and then you hit the cemetery, and everybody called it Dead Man's Curve.
Okay.
Because it was really quite the curve.
Yeah.
You know, and then you wound to, then you were going out of town.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, out on, off of Farmer's Loop, and you can see it from here, there were bunkers full of ammunition and things that they couldn't store on Ladd Air Force Base at that time, and they even had a group of soldiers that were deployed out there.
Gosh.
Into those Quonset huts. Huh. And up on Bender Mountain, which is the top of Ski Boot Hill, mm-hmm. is on that's Bender Mountain. Nobody knows that anymore. You talk about Bender and mm-hmm. oh, we've talked about Areophorum and Epilobium and Gestifolium.
Yeah, but you didn't get that.
I didn't know. See, I told you I didn't.
That's
get
the next
that.
Development.
And anybody that drives a bus or a taxi goes Europhorum or your eerie, you know.
I even pronounced it wrong.
They don't even come close. You know, they give up. But there are others that are worse. There's nothing hard about it if you talk Latin.
No, that's right.
I was trying to know how many buses now go around Farmer's Loop. I was telling you about when Polly first went to school.
Yeah.
There was one bus that started here at this end of Farmer's Loop and picked up everybody, including the little bit of Blaine Road to Yankovic.
It's an issue of scheduling, and it's an issue of who's going to what school, because some people have the ability to go to different schools, which requires... But, you know, a different
bus.
And they all happen at the same time.
Yeah.
And so there are plenty of times when you'd think that when somebody has to squeeze in a couple pickups so they end up on Farmer's Loop Road because they're going the right place. Mm. So it seems odd, but it really is what it takes. Mm-hmm. And so.
But anyway, there are that many more people. And of course, some of it, if we hadn't done it, somebody else would. But, overall, we've had over 600 acres of stuff on the Farmer's Loop area, more than that, that we have been responsible for the initial subdivision. And then, of course, people build, and they end up in road service areas.
So you've done Joe Vogler and Viewpoint and the Paul Fees.
We didn't talk about Joe Vogler.
Paul Fees and Walker?
Yeah, I mentioned them.
Or what was her name? Was her name Walker?
Candy?
No, Candy. Not Candy.
Oh, Fern Palfrey.
Who had the little, by Barney's Piano Shuros. Sauce?
Oh, Shuros. The one you went for cookies and milk?
No, I'm thinking Barney's Piano Shop right there, Reed.
Oh, Irving Reed.
Irving Reed and his wife had a little farm there just before the golf course.
Just the other side of Blaine Lake.
Right
near Eniaca.
Right where the two churches are.
Yes, okay.
And that's Reed Acres.
Reed Acres.
So now it wasn't subdivided at the time of his death.
Mm-hmm. And so you guys bought that and subdivided. No. That was them. Right.
No, it wasn't for sale at that time, and we were doing something else.
You mentioned Vogler. What's Vogler?
Joe Vogler, University Heights.
Oh, he did. He did that. Okay.
Yes.
Fern Palfrey and Viewpoint.
Yeah, I did mention Fern.
Yeah.
As the one that we had to really work on her.
Was she a Creamer?
Was
she a Creamer child?
No, she was not Creamer. Her husband had a sheet metal shop in town, and it was Claus Johnson who homesteaded the property, and he borrowed money from Palfrey. And signed a note and ended up losing his property to Palfrey, who I hear was not given to many extensions. If you didn't pay, I'll record your deed or I'll foreclose.
Right.
But Claus Johnson was there when we first arrived. And he had goats, and we got two goats from him. Of course, the goats got killed. The bear came and killed the goats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that brings up something interesting. How about the financing for this? You've always been lucky to get financing for all the developments. Has that been problematic?
Financing has not been a problem. Mm. We do not get financing.
Good for you. Okay.
If we can't pay for it, we don't get it.
Excellent.
But he took doing something right the first time,
yeah.
Sunrise.
Well, that financing was your grandfather.
Oh, well, there you go.
There.
But it wasn't running out and getting
bank loans.
Bank financing.
Right.
And stuff was very inexpensive and not developed.
Yes.
You know, there wasn't an option that besides ones and twos of people doing things on their own.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
There wasn't an option on Farmers Loop near the university.
It was it was expensive for the times.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it was not expensive when you look back on it.
Mm-hmm.
We paid $65,000 for 65 acres.
That was expensive.
At Sunrise.
Mm-hmm. That was very expensive.
It was expensive.
Yeah.
And our roads were... Well, we were paying 25 cents a yard for tailings.
Hmm.
And whatever Jim Thurman charged, his earth movers.
Mm-hmm. We've got an old bill.
Whatever he charged.
We've got an old bill for the material on that.
For delivery, but it was certainly not $110 an hour for a load of gravel, which did not include the... Well, it did. It would include the gravel.
Yeah.
But
hmm.
that's what you pay now.
Wow.
Per... per load.
Yeah.
And it's truck time in the material.
That's the truck time. Yeah. And so you can see why lots have to cost $30,000 or $40,000.
Down where we are.
You can spend next to nothing on the land, actually, and then by the time you give away the roads,
right,
after you've paid for what's on them.
Yeah.
You have a sizable investment there.
Right,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
Because of the inaccessibility at the time that we bought it, or the presumed inaccessibility, it turned out that after 3 or 4 years in court, we had access after all. But the land for underlying land at Fox Bluffs wasn't all that wild. Mm-hmm. In its initial cost, but the cost of the roads and the surveys and all the other stuff, you end up with
sizable investments.
Yeah, you go from 100,000 to 500.
Yeah,
in no time.
Yeah, that's right.
So
and then you've got a 20-year or 30-year sales
window. Yeah, I told her about the comment that I'd heard. That if you aren't out in 5 or 6 years, you're just not a very good subdivider. You just aren't doing it right.
It depends where you are.
Maybe it's in Lower 48 somewhere, probably.
Or down in the valley, maybe. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
And it's all, you can also be right there at the with the tide, and the tide goes out.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got to wait your 5
And your boat
years
didn't rise with it.
Yeah.
But, now, Joe was one of the first, you... came up and
I
met
not,
Joe on the road.
I met Joe within the first 3 weeks of being here. Yeah. Have you ever heard of Joe Vogler?
I've heard the name, I've heard the Vogler name, but I don't.
You need to ask about Joe sometime.
Joe was the Alaskans for Independence, and he was a gubernatorial candidate for under the Alaska for Independence Party. At odds with the National Park Service.
At odds mining, with everybody.
Over mining claims and access in the Circle Mining District.
Mm-hmm.
At Woodchopper.
Woodchopper.
Yeah.
And Joe and my dad were great pals, but, you know, also...
We also had adjoining subdivisions.
Also competitors. Mm-hmm. But, you know, competitors and allies and political friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because the politics aligned, you know, do things for yourself. Others don't need to get in your way. You'll be a good steward of your property and what you do. That sums up part of it, you know.
Mm.
Not the notion that, and, you know, Joe was very much about mining, you know, and so...
Interesting.
By the way, this road is shown here,
mm-hmm.
but it stops at this, stops right about here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. That was a state subdivision, and they did paper plats at that time.
Okay.
It was all on paper, and we don't know whether it works on the ground
right.
or not, but we're going to sell it to
you. It could be on a cliff.
And we didn't have to build any roads as the state.
Oh, right.
Same way on Murphy Dome, a great big place on a complex of lots on Murphy Dome done that way. You know, maybe a whole section.
Right.
Oh, probably more.
So what happened when they got up here? They realized you just couldn't get the roads through?
What happened was they sold the land, and mm-hmm. people started... They must have had some sort
We're talking Wolverine.
No, we're talking about Tungsten.
Tungsten.
Wolverine was another state subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
Over Muskox.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
But it had some infrastructure that got to it. You know?
Yeah, it had a few dirt roads that got to it.
Right.
But no, I think people just sort of extended the road as they needed it to get to themselves.
Right.
And...
So the Wolverine one you said was a state one too?
Muskox was a state subdivision, yep.
Okay, because we actually used to live over there.
Oh.
Off Red Fox.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. We were house sitting for somebody over there when we first arrived.
You drove down Red Fox, didn't you?
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Marjorie, thank you so much. Your fountain of information.
Wonderful. We didn't learn much about road names.
Well, we did, actually. We did learn a lot about road names, but it's the stories that go with the road names that are important, too, you know?
Yeah. What sort of theme did Joe have for naming his road?
Oh, his were universities.
Oh, his were universities.
That's University Heights, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's another one in town there behind Safeway. It's all the president's names.
Yeah, and there are also some more university names down off of Chena Pump.
Okay, now how did Joe pick his universities?
I don't know.
Are they all East Coast universities?
Let's take a look.
They are.
Catholic universities, Gonzaga?
They may be Catholic universities. I never knew until I went to his funeral. He was Catholic. He certainly didn't.
DePaul.
Yeah. Is that a Catholic school?
I don't know.
I think it may be.
But these might be Jesuit school.
They might be. That sounds more Jesuit than... Mm-hmm.
Or is it DePaul?
D-P-A-U-W.
P-A-U-W is how
There's
it's
no
spelled.
No all in there.
I'm just trying to find them here. I know exactly where it is, and yet I can't.
No, there's Ithaca, and I think they're...
Ithaca
They
College,
may all...
Right?
Ithaca is...
Cambridge, yeah. Baylor, Hill... Baylor's a university, of course.
I don't think they're all Catholic. But
Holy Cross Drive and Ithaca.
Yeah.
Holy Cross Drive. And Joliet...
Mm-hmm.
Eaton, Gonzaga. I don't know that name.
That's a Catholic college.
Is it
Gonzaga?
Is it?
Yeah.
It's in downtown
Fordham.
Is it Spokane? It's.
You're right. It's a West Coast one. We had to look it up because there. I was watching the NCAA. So I didn't know where they were from. But
right. Okay.
I think it's. If it's not in Spokane, it's certainly in that area. That general area of Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'll actually look them up and just see if there's any kind of geographical similarity or if they're just ones that he knew.
No, well, they're spread all over the place because Ithaca, of course, is in New York.
Yeah.
And Cambridge is in England.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
I don't think he had an Oxford. There may have been an Oxford already as a road somewhere.
As somewhere else, because you would have thought Oxford and Cambridge would have been in tandem.
And Jim McGoffin does ski slopes.
He does ski. His are relatively new, last 5 years. He has property adjacent to the Muskox farm.
Oh, okay.
And down in there, between Dalton Trail and the Muskox Farm, off of Yankovich.
Right. Yeah, I know that area.
He's got Sun Valley Drive. He's got,
his father had homesteaded that.
Uh-huh.
And, Puppet, get out of the rose bush.
And then there's the whole area, that other area, that's all bird names. Swallow.
Mm-hmm.
All the bird
names.
What
do you remember about going up Uhlerhof in the first time?
I remember going up Uhlerhof
in
1959.
That's Astrodome, right?
Yeah.
And there's a subdivision up there that's called...
It's an old subdivision, and it may have been something that I don't know about its etiology.
There may have been born of the folks that collaborated to have Ullerhaven. And it's got a German name that means winter.
It's some sort of a ski... It's associated with ski slopes in Europe, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
And it's compact.
They were little half acre lots.
Mm. It's an oddity in that respect, because here you are out in the country, but you're also pushed into one little, right on top of your
I neighbor. Think it was the group of people.
Nordstrasse.
That would be North Street.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was probably the incorporators of Ullerhaven Ski Slope that saved one little portion for residential or for our ski cabins.
Right.
And it's got beautiful view. Mm-hmm. So it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So. U-H-L-R, right? U-L-L-R.
Well, when you came home, he quit barking.
Yes, thank you.
What do you remember out Gene Osmer's Road? How far it went?
It went to stop that. Jenny M. Creek. Which was at 23 miles or something like that. And it followed every hill.
Mm-hmm.
If the hill was 30% grade,
it was
30% grade.
Discovered something new.
Yeah, and you see, if you go out Chena Hot Springs Road, you'll see these large cuts.
Oh, yes.
Well, just think driving up over the top.
Over the top,
right. That's how you did it.
Oh, here we have. So it's spelled Ullerhaven. Yes. And look at how small the lots are.
I think it's a German ski slope or something.
Okay.
Or maybe it means something in German.
I'll look it up in my German dictionary.
Yeah.
Oh, very compact.
I probably have a German dictionary.
I have
one. It's probably in one of those
boxes that you brought up.
That's downstairs that has never been opened.
I didn't
have any need for a German dictionary after I got here.
So who was it that named all the streets after the presidents in town? Probably the borough
whoever
built those houses in there.
But that was all just woods. When for the longest time, that whole area there.
The other one is Old Man Phillips. That's somebody.
Phillips Field. We just talked to his grandson a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Phillips Field Road, that whole area where the Johansson is, after you got over the slough, not too much farther out from that, all the way out to the other side of the slough, the slough crosses again by Dead End Alley. Out there, that was Carol Phillips's property, and there was an airfield there. And
that was Metro Field, right?
No, that was Phillips Field. Metro Field here is down by the dike.
Shaft Row.
Yeah, Shaft. Mm. Then the old airport for Fairbanks used to be where the library is.
Right, Weeks Field.
Weeks Field.
Yeah.
And I don't know who Weeks was.
But
Marion Weeks married Stroker.
Mm-hmm. I think she's got Weeks in here.
Yeah.
Just a second.
That's the dissertation?
That's a dissertation, yep. And I'm positive she had Weeks Field. It was named after John W. Weeks, who was the Secretary of War under President Warren Harding
okay,
in the early 1920s.
Was he ever here?
No, half of these okay. people, the, most of the people that streets are named after in Fairbanks well, never set eyes on Fairbanks.
I think I would have been making up a story that there was a family club that we
No, it's not that romantic.
But, you know, and I don't know, in the early 70s, I certainly remember that
there used to be some airplanes sitting out there.
What was the name of that field? Phillips Field had plenty of traffic. And,
yeah.
You know, and it didn't have big stuff, but I think it might have had even DC-3s in there for fuel and stuff.
I don't know about that.
A lot of light plane traffic.
Oh, yeah, they were tied down. There are a couple old hangars out there.
There is still, yeah.
Used, there's a green one.
There's a green one that says fur trapping supplies or something. Yeah.
It was a hangar, and there used to be planes sitting there.
And I think Air North used to fly out of there and then moved over to Metro Field. Or
I don't know.
Maybe that didn't happen.
I don't know where Air North started.
But I don't know why they cut it up. But, I mean, we love the Johansson, but how did they manage that? How did they manage to cause...
I don't know whether I don't know. I don't know whether they came and said, we're either going to buy your property or we're going to condemn it. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether that was the case.
It usually doesn't happen when there's such a high activity in a spot. They usually try to go around,
Yeah, but... there's been a move to move... things like that away from, it's like the move now that's out there every so often, let's move the railroad. So somebody will come along in 100 years and say, I heard the railroad used to be here. Yeah. Now how did it get moved?
Usually as urban places sprawl out, the stuff that's still in the core gets moved out, like airports and train stations and stuff. So,
So you were from Canada.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
My grandson went to McGill.
Oh, in Montreal. Oh, in McGill? Yeah, Montreal.
Yeah, it's in Montreal.
Sorry, I got McGill and McMaster.
He left after a year.
Did he?
I think it was just, 18, what do you know?
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't want to be downtown. Or maybe the weather wasn't any good.
Well, he lots of didn't like the weather.
Lots of snow there.
Yeah, he didn't like that particularly.
Right.
So now he's in Southern California.
Oh, well, it's much warmer.
At Claremont.
Very much warmer.
Yeah.
Well, Marjorie, well, I'm glad done. Thank you. Thank you so much. You too, Duke. Thank you.
I'm sorry I put you off so long.
No. I enjoyed this.
I'm sure your letter's in that stack.
I'll just turn this off.